as a bird on the wind. No prison walking can continue.
This is the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
Can see is this trial hanging like a cloud over you. I know you've endured for a while, but now you wonder how you'll get through. In the midst of the darkness and the raging, find the strength to look to Him. Just keep your eyes on Jesus. He'll take you through the storm. Lift up your head, you can move on. Though your ship may be may rise, keep believing. You can ride the waters by faith. Hope is not lost in this season, for the Master still commands every wave. Every struggle has purpose, and every storm has an end. He will hold you steady until then. Just keep your eyes on Jesus. He'll take you through the storm.
Just keep the world is sound asleep and too afraid of what might show up while you're dreaming. Nobody, nobody, nobody sees you. Nobody, nobody will believe you. And every day you try to pick up all the pieces, all the memories that somehow never leave you. Nobody, nobody, nobody sees you. Nobody, nobody will believe you. God only knows what you've been through. God only knows what they say about you. God only knows how it's killing you. But there's a kind of love that God only knows.
God only knows what you've been through. God only knows what they say about you. But God only knows the real you. There's a kind of love that God only knows.
There's a kind of love that there's a kind of love.
You keep a cover over every single secret. So afraid if someone saw them they would leave. Somebody, somebody, somebody sees you. Somebody, somebody will never leave you.
God only knows what you've been through. God only knows what they say about you. God only knows how it's killing you. But there's a kind of love that God only knows.
God only knows what you've been.
Misunderstood and the ones to blame. What if we could start over? We could start over. We could start over.
Oh, for the lonely, for the ashamed, the misunderstood and the ones to blame. What if we could start over? We could start over. We could start over.
The kind of love that God only knows.
For the sake of the gospel, for the glory of your name, I lay down my life, I give you everything. For the sake of the gospel, for the glory of your name, I will go unto the world, God, and say your love is on its way.
Jesus, take the beauty from the pain. Jesus, lift these weary hands again. Turn the silence into songs of praise. Jesus, I am leaning on your name. Oh, I'm leaning on you. Thine we are.
Thou hast bought us, thine we are.
A scene so familiar at the old 5 and 9. A little boy waited his turn in line, and with eyes so intent he proudly displayed the candy he'd buy with the money he'd save. The girl at the counter wasn't sure what to do, 'cause the money was less the price that was due. Then a stranger spoke up from his place in line, said whatever he's short, just take it and add it to mine. I've got you covered, I'll pay the difference. You don't have to worry at all. Whatever the cost is, I'll go the distance. If you fall, I will catch you. You know I won't let you feel like you're there all alone. I've got you covered. Sometimes when I look back, it's hard to just how far I've come, yet how little has changed. I still long to hold what seems so out of reach, only to find out it's not what it seems. I come to the Father alone and afraid, in need of forgiveness, yet it's so far away. Cry out for mercy, a child so beneath, and with a voice of compassion, the Father calls out to me. I've got you covered, I'll pay the difference. You don't have to worry at all. Whatever the cost is, I'll go the distance. If you fall, I will catch you. You know I won't let you feel like you're there all alone. I've got you covered. I know what you're facing, I see where you're standing. I'm holding all the answers you need, 'cause no situation you covered. Yeah, got you covered. Yeah. Heavenly
Tries to find some meaning in their lives. Where do we belong? Who will be our shelter? Looking for salvation, a haven from the storm. We are angel watching over me.
Welcome to Living the Abundant Life program. This is your host, Rachel McLean. Call 772-220-0602 for more information about men's prayer, ladies' prayer, and midweek Bible studies. Watch our live stream at AbundantLifeStuart.com on Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. Our mailing address is Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stuart, Florida, 34995. Join us as we go to a pre-recorded service with Pastor Jonathan McLean.
1 Samuel chapter 1, and we're just going to look at a few of these verses because I want to look at two other mothers in the Word of God. With these moms, I see three things that's very important. One, we see a mother who does not have a child but wants a child. And my wife and I, for years, desired to have a child, did not. As you know, we adopted our boys. But that can be a great burden. And let me just say as we start that actually it is a godly thing for a woman to desire to have children and have children. In the Jewish culture, if a lady did not have a child, then it was sort of assumed that for some reason God was punishing her. And it was considered an embarrassment and a point of shame if a lady was barren and unable to have children. In fact, it was considered an issue with a husband if his wife was not able to have children because they were looking to pass the name and maintain property ownership with their family. So it was a very big deal. So when we look at this passage in 1 Samuel in reference to Samuel's mother, it really is a great passage in the Word of God. And as I've been reading through the Old Testament, these three moms I'm going to make mention of this morning really came to mind over the last several months as I've been reading. And so the first, her name is Hannah. We know her name. And let's just look at a few verses together. Hannah was in deep anguish, crying bitterly as she prayed to the Lord. You get a little bit of a picture of how big of a burden is on her heart. And she made this vow to the Lord, "O Lord Almighty, if you will look down upon my sorrow and answer my prayer and give me a son, then I will give him back to you. He will be yours for his entire lifetime. Then he will be yours for his entire lifetime. And as a sign that he has been dedicated to the Lord, his hair will never be cut." Interesting, isn't it? That's traditionally part of the Nazirite vow, where a Jewish lady would dedicate, she and her husband would dedicate their child to the Lord. And a part of that vow was that their hair was not to be cut. And so we see this picture of Hannah crying out to the Lord. As she is praying, the priest sees her, and the priest thinks she must be drunk. And if you can think about that taking place, seeing her lips moving but hearing no sound, he thought she had been drinking. "Must you come here drunk?" he demanded. So he sort of gets on her case. "Throw away your wine." And she said, "Oh, no, sir, I'm not drunk, but I'm very sad, and that's pouring out my heart to the Lord. Please don't think I'm a wicked woman, for I've been praying out of great anguish and sorrow." And Eli, the priest, says, "In that case, cheer up. May the God of Israel grant the request that you have asked of him." "Oh, thank you, sir," she exclaimed. She went back and began to eat again, and she was no longer sad. Then in verse 24, we see that once the child is born and was weaned, Hannah took him to the tabernacle. She's going to follow through with her prayer and her vow. They brought along a 3-year-old bull for the sacrifice and half a bushel of flour and some wine. And after sacrificing the bull, they took the child to Eli. "Sir, do you remember me?" Hannah said. "I am the woman who stood here several years ago praying to the Lord. I asked the Lord to give me this child. He has given me my request. now I'm giving him to the Lord, and he will belong to the Lord how long? His entire life, and they worshiped the Lord there. So the first mother that I wanted us to think about was this mother who for years carries this burden of wanting to be a mother and not being able to have a child. And in all the gatherings that she would be in, every child she would see would certainly be a remembrance to her that she was barren. However, she was a woman of faith and a woman who believed in God. And she was crying out to God. You see, the high priest actually lifting up this lady's burden with her and speaking over her that may the Lord grant your request. And the Lord did that. And then we see that she doesn't forget her vow. She honors that. And she dedicates her child to the priesthood. And Samuel, of course, will become the priest who will lead in Israel as a great prophet. In reference to our children, and I suppose in this room there's probably more than just my own family, wherein once my wife was ready to have children, we first got married, I thought, no, let's wait a while. By the time Slo McLean got around, you know, it didn't happen. And that was a real burden for us. And I remember some of the conversations we had because it was kind of hard to not notice that there were many people who were not serving God that had children. And it was painful for us to realize that there were babies being born into crack houses and there were kids being brought into families where it was nothing but drugs and immorality, and that's what those kids were going to be exposed to. And the enemy for sure jumped on my wife many, 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 many days and would accuse her and seek to condemn her that something was wrong with her. And so first I wanted to just look at this and say that every child is a gift from God. Every child. God does not make mistakes. You moms know that, and you dads who are godly, you know that too. But to recognize that not only is every child a gift from God, I want to sort of zero in on the fact that there is a war that goes on against you ladies in the heavens. Satan hates you. Satan hates you ladies. In fact, I really wonder if he doesn't have a greater battle with you ladies than he does even with the men. And I'm going to share some scripture with you today that I believe may give you some understanding of that. The second lady that I want to go to is actually in Judges, and it's Samson's mom. Let's turn over to Judges. Judges chapter 13. And in Judges chapter 13, I wanted to point to this passage, because Samson had also a godly mom. In Samson's life, we see that God actually sent an angel to his mother. And we don't know her name. This mom is not even identified, but her husband is known, Manoah. And so it tells us in verse 2 that he's a man named Manoah from the tribe of Dan, lived in the town of Zorah. And his wife was unable to become pregnant. And so we have this situation again, and they had no children. And an angel of the Lord appeared to Manoah's wife and said, "Even though you have been unable to have children, you will soon become pregnant and give birth to a son. You must not drink," now listen to all these guidelines, "you must not drink wine or any alcoholic drink or eat any forbidden food. You will become pregnant, you'll give birth to a son, his hair must never be cut." Interesting. He's going to be a Nazarite. for he will be dedicated to God as a Nazarite from birth. And now God's going to tell Mama what his job is, what his purpose is. He will rescue Israel from the Philistines. She hasn't even conceived yet. God already knows exactly what's going to happen in every day of this child's life. And we need to remember that God has a plan. We may not see it fully worked out yet, but God has a plan. And God is at work in our families. God is at work in our children, our grandchildren. And if God gave you that child, my mother used to pray this way. She said, God, you didn't give me one child to go to hell. You gave me every one of my children to populate heaven. And Mama would pray that way. She stood on the Word of God, and she said, I believe that God's going to save my family. And I want to encourage you to stand on the Word of God and to not lose heart. And you're going to see this morning that there is not a child that's born that does not have a God job. A God job. Now, we train for a lot of other jobs in our life to make a living and do other things. But God has a purpose for every child. And it's not simply to make a paycheck or to fulfill a position in some local business. God has a God job for every child. And we're going to see some more of that in a few moments. The woman ran and told her husband. She's all excited. A man of God appeared to me. She gives the account. And looked like one of God's angels, terrifying to look at. I didn't ask where he was from. He didn't tell me his name. But he told me, you will become pregnant and give birth. So now she's going to tell her husband exactly what the angel had told her. And she repeats it again. She heard and understood. Do not drink wine or any alcoholic beverage or eat any forbidden food. Or your son will be dedicated to God as a Nazarite from the moment of his birth until the day of his death. Now, how many of you were dedicated as a child to the Lord? Or you dedicated your children to the Lord? A lot of you are dedicated to the Lord. How long was that dedication for? It was for life, wasn't it? It was a dedication for life. When we dedicate a child, we know that dedication does not save the child. But we do know that dedication is an act of faith on behalf of God, His Word, and our children. Where when we dedicate them, we are believing that God is going to help us as parents to understand the job that they have and to train them up and equip them to accomplish that task. And so we see that God speaks clearly to her of the life of this child even before he's born. And Manoah, her husband, wants to get some further details. A lot of times it's you ladies that want more details. But at this point, he's wanting to have more details. So he prays, asks God to send the angel again so he can find out a little more information. So in verse 12, Manoah asks him, because he comes again, when your words come true, what kind of rules should govern the boy's life and work? Now, what you're going to see here is a parent and a family that's seeking God for wisdom and guidance and direction on how to raise their children. You know, the scripture talks about that each one of us must work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. And that doesn't mean that the Word of God doesn't give us a blueprint, but it does mean that the Holy Spirit in my life and your life is the personal guide that enables you to understand what the Word of God is saying to you in your personal circumstances. And so we see that Manoah and his wife, they want to know exactly what the rules, what the requirements are going to be, how are we to raise this child for his life and his work, for the entirety of his life. And the angel said, be sure your wife follows the instructions I gave her. And we know this today by medical advice that a mom, if she's involved in certain foods, certain habits, that it can be very detrimental to the health of the child. The angel is saying it's really important that Mama listen to what I've said, and that she also is sensitive and responsible in the way she lives while she's pregnant. She must not eat grapes or raisins, drink wine, other alcoholic drink, or eat any forbidden food. So it's starting with her from the time of conception. Then Manoah said to the angel of the Lord, please stay here until we can prepare a meal. And Manoah wants to know the name of the angel. And the angel said, you wouldn't understand, so I'm not even going to tell you. If I told you, you wouldn't understand. But we see in verse 24 that when her son was born, they named him Samson. And the Lord blessed him as he grew up. And in Mahanah Dan, which is located between the towns of Zorah and Eshtol, the Spirit of the Lord began to take hold of him. And that is our prayer over our households, is it not? That the Spirit of the Lord will take over their lives. All right, so the story of Samuel's mom, Hannah, barren, crying for a child. God gives her a child. She dedicates the child to the Lord. His work of service is in the temple, and he will be raised up as a prophet in the land and a judge in the land. Samson also was a judge in Israel. As he's raised up, we know that he did not really live a moral life. We know that he did follow and accomplish many things that God wanted him to do. And definitely, he brought judgment on their enemies, the Philistines, without question. However, there's another account that I want to take you to, and I want you to actually look at these scriptures as well in Luke. It almost sounds like we're going to go to the Christmas story. Well, we actually are a little bit, because we see something in this passage, Luke chapter 1, that gives us, I think, another aspect of mothers who are godly and the heart that they have before the Lord. So in Luke chapter 1, we're going to start down about verse 26. Confused and disturbed, the angel has come, Gabriel has come to Mary. Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. Don't be frightened. You see, because already the angel has spoken to her, to a virgin named Mary. She's engaged to be married to a man named Joseph. Gabriel saying, greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you. Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think, what is the angel meaning? Don't be frightened, Mary, the angel told her, for God has decided to bless you. So moms, before we leave today, we're going to pray a blessing over you and going to encourage every husband that is here to lay hands on your wife and release that blessing, that priesthood blessing over your wife as well. But I want you to know that every mother is blessed of the Lord to have a child. It's a blessing. And so you may say, well, some children don't seem to be much of a blessing. Well, the children may make bad choices, but the fact that God gave you a child, you are blessed because that's a gift from God. It's a gift from God. We're going to see as we look into the Word of God for the next few moments. It's a gift from God that is unique only to you ladies. It's a gift that we as men will never know. We'll never understand what it is to have the joy of a child, to be able to nurse, to be able to hug. There's something in the gifting that God has given you ladies that we as men will never understand. It's something uniquely the blessing of God to you. So Mary does not understand. The angel told her, God has decided to bless you. You will become pregnant. You'll have a son. You're to name him Jesus. He'll be very great. Will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David. And he will reign forever over Israel. Forever. His kingdom will never end. Sounds like God's, again, telling the mom what her son's supposed to do, what his calling, what his gift is. Mary asked the angel, how can I have a baby? I'm a virgin. And the angel replied, The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby born to you will be holy. He'll be called the Son of God. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant. Here's another old lady becoming pregnant and having a child. People used to say she was barren, but she's already in her sixth month. For nothing, and this is that verse that we so often quote, nothing is impossible with God. Where is that verse in the Word of God? It is attached to a mother. It's attached to the birth of her child. It's attached to the miraculous provision of God to Elizabeth and also to Mary, because it's totally a miracle. Miracle for Elizabeth because of her age. A miracle to Mary because the child is of the Holy Spirit. And so we see Mary's response, and this, I believe, is important to look at on this Mother's Day. Mary said, "I am the Lord's servant." Now, you moms, your children may be long gone. They may be out of the house. You may be a grandma or something else. But I want to encourage you to maintain this same kind of an attitude and a same kind of a faith statement. I am willing to accept whatever you have for me, God. The blessing of God. Mary didn't understand, didn't know how it was possible. There was no way to understand it. We don't understand it today other than it was God. It was just the Holy Spirit in her life. But Mary fully surrendered her life to the purposes of God. And moms, even if the kids are out of the house, if the grandchildren are around, wherever they are in their walk with God or not, your strongest witness is continuing to pray, "I'm your handmaiden. Whatever you want to do in my life, continue to do it." This is the way you mothers continue to have a strong witness for your children, and you're able to tell them, "I prayed over you when you were conceived. Your daddy and I, we were praying for you the day you were conceived. We prayed over you as you were growing up. We prayed over you as you were in Sunday school. We prayed over you as you went to school and you came back home. We prayed over you when you were sick. We prayed over you when you were struggling and you had your fights and you had your difficulties. We prayed over you and we're continuing to pray over you. And the God who blessed us with you is the God who will save you. You will be saved. You will know the Master." And I believe we need to speak those words over our children. Even if they're not wanting to listen, you can lift them up to the Lord. And you can say, "Father, I claim my children for the kingdom of God. I claim my grandchildren for the kingdom of God. I claim my family for the kingdom of God." And already this morning, the enemy's telling somebody, "But you didn't raise your children right. And you weren't living right, and you messed up, and you lost your way, and you got off the trail, so you didn't always have a great witness." And you need to just say from your heart to the Lord, "But I am in the kingdom today, and I, from this point forward, am going to continue to pray the word over my family and claim them for the kingdom of God." It's never too late to stand up and make those declarations. So Mary says, I'm willing to accept whatever you want, whatever he wants. May everything you said come true. Then the angel left. A few days later, Mary hurried to the hill country of Judea, to the town where Zechariah lived. She entered the house, greeted Elizabeth at the sound of Mary's greeting. Elizabeth's child leaped within her. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. That was before Pentecost. Holy Spirit filled her up. And if you remember the child that was that John the Baptist, from the womb, the Holy Spirit was upon his life. Elizabeth gave a glad shout, a cry, and exclaimed to Mary, "You're blessed by God above all other women. And your child is blessed. What an honor this is that the mother of my Lord should visit me. And when you came in and greeted me, My baby jumped for joy the instant I heard your voice. And look at verse 45. You are blessed because you believed that the Lord would do what he said. So many people talk about Mary as if she was sinless. Mary was not sinless. All of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We all need a Savior. But Mary was blessed, and the child is blessed. And this scripture tells us why she's blessed. Because she simply believed that if God gave her a child, that the child was going to become who God said it was going to become. Now, I don't know about you, but God's still working on me. And I'll just tell you, God's still working on you too, whether you want to admit it or not. And if you've ever been around a remodeling project, they can get really messy. In fact, I worked for a builder. We preferred to build new stuff rather than old stuff because when you start taking things apart, you never know what you're going to run into. But God is working on some old parts and pieces in my life and maybe in your life too. But the point is, God doesn't stop working on us. And so God is at work in you, God's at work in me, and God is at work in our children. And that work will continue right up till the last breath. God is not finished. Your children are a work in process. You are a work in process. And God is faithful. I like what the word says about God. We sing it, don't we? He that began a good work in me is what? Faithful. Faithful to complete it. Faithful to complete it, for sure. So we see a mother that's asking. We see a mother that's obeying. We see a mother that's believing. And my mom did all of those things. And I thank God for her. Rachel's mom, Rachel already said she was a mini model, but she was a mighty model in God. She was a strong lady of faith.
If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you can do so today. Please pray this simple prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I believe that you are Christ, the Son of the living God, that you died for my sins. I am a sinner. I need a Savior. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be Lord of my life today. I ask this all in Jesus' name, and fill me with your wonderful Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to Living the Abundant Life with Pastor Jonathan McLean, coming to you from Abundant Life Assembly of God Church. If you would like to be a partner with us in support of this ministry, you may do so by going to AbundantLifeStewart.com. Please send all correspondence to Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stewart, Florida 34995. Jesus said, I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly.
Tune in to Torah Life Ministries with Paul Neeson, airing daily Monday through Friday at 6:30 a.m. and p.m., and also heard each Saturday at 12 noon.